You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. All right, countdown to tip-off is on. The question is, will the Golden State Warriors become the first team to run the playoff table? I think they do. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers will come out and play competitive for the first quarter and a half or so. But once the Golden State Warriors deliver a couple of severe body blows and a couple of long bomb threes, it's going to be all over but the crying. We're going to break it down. We'll see what Steve Merrill has to say about tonight's contest. There's actually been a little bit of line movement in the last couple of minutes. It was sitting at 6 for the last 24 hours or so. I'm seeing 5.5s pop up right now. Money line down to minus 230. So we're going to crunch the numbers from a betting perspective with Steve Merrill. Bonnie Jill Laughlin will join us on the program. First ever female scout in the NBA. This woman's done it all, actually. She's like Wonder Woman. She's literally and figuratively done it all. You know, broadcaster. She was a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. She was on the TV show Baywatch. I don't even know where to end here with Bonnie Jill. But she was also the first ever female scout with the L.A. Lakers. Not just the Lakers, but in the NBA as well. She knows basketball. We'll talk NBA Finals. Little Lonzo Ball NBA mock draft with Bonnie Jill. We're not L.A., and you never know. I told you earlier in the week I thought they were stupid, even if they do take Lonzo Ball. And I'm not saying they're stupid for taking Lonzo Ball. But with that being stated, I said they're like poker players, man, playing with their cards facing up and being so open about this, and pretty smart of them. And Pelinka's a smart guy, a former Michigan Wolverine. He's got to be, right? So Pelinka's a smart guy. You figure that he knows and everybody else knows. So they're putting it out there right now that they weren't overly impressed with Ball's workout. Ball can't shoot the basketball, all right? And it's sort of a problem in the NBA. And, yeah, okay, you can be a playmaker, but you have a lot of baggage for just a playmaker. So they're talking about Josh Jackson right now. They threw that out there. Just maybe a little bit of a smokescreen, but things are going to get interesting over the next couple of weeks with the NBA draft rapidly approaching. Speaking of the NBA, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals last night was a lot like the NBA. Kind of sucked. Blowout city, and man, did I ever get screwed over. Once again, I'm on the right side. Once again, now we're 5-0. We've been riding the home teams. But once again, I get screwed over, man. The total was 5.5, and if not for some piss-poor goaltending, I get this thing. I get it. 6, of course. Of course. Yeah, why not? Just screw Morenci over another time, right? All right, we got Major League Baseball. These baseball games are starting to count, and at the same point in time, we're getting into the dog days soon. Oh, the dog days are really like late July, early August and stuff. But my point being, Stanley Cup's coming to an end. The NBA Finals are going to be over in what, about, 8 hours, 9 hours from now? The NBA season's going to be over. Bring on football, man. Bring on football. But we have some big baseball games over the weekend. Specifically, the American League East. It's not like the National League East. The AL East is actually a competitive division. We got some big baseball. We had Yankees and Red Sox earlier in the week. I was wondering about the Yankees. I thought they were going to regress a little bit because they beat up on bad teams to start the season. But, you know, they're more than treading water against baseball's elite. Another big series for them against the Baltimore Orioles. So we got a lot of stuff to crunch. With all the talk of the Golden State Warriors attempting to become the first team ever to run the playoff table, and I think it's a legitimate question. Are they the greatest team ever if they do this? You know, if we were going to criticize them last year for setting the regular season win total record and then not getting it done and saying, well, it doesn't count because you didn't win, well, now they won in emphatic fashion. And we've talked about this. The Chicago Bulls, that 96 Chicago Bull team, they lost 3 playoff games that year. They beat the Seattle Supersonics 4-2 in the finals. But nevertheless, with all the talk about the finals and Golden State and Jordan and the best ever and the NBA draft, we have another basketball story to talk about, and a pretty interesting one at that. I don't know if you're going to love it. I don't know if you're going to hate it. But yesterday I saw a story on our sister website, sportsgrid.com, about the Olympics and the Olympic Committee considering adding 3-on-3 basketball to the rotation in the Olympics. Now, I thought, normally they do you know, they do test runs and demonstrations, and, you know, it's a couple of years of progress before we get there. Well, it was about one day of progress before they got there. The Japanese ain't screwing around. They want three-on-three basketball in the Olympics. They're getting three-on-three basketball in the Olympics. Now, a lot of people are waiting for me to really explode and say this is a stupid idea. And I sort of, I can't do it. As somebody that bets on beach soccer, how the hell am I going to rip three-on-three basketball? Now, I will say, for the love of God, please don't put street hockey. Don't put road hockey in the Olympics, all right? There's enough jackasses in Canada that think they're good hockey players as it is. We don't need to add to the mix right now. God, three-on-three, like street hockey. But as much as I hate, and let me reiterate that, I hate the four-on-four and three-on-three stuff. Yeah, I guess it's entertaining, but so is going to a strip club in the middle of the afternoon. It doesn't mean you got to do it every day, right? I'm going to sit here, and I don't like the NHL All-Star Game three-on-three. I think it's dumb. It just doesn't work. I'm not so much against it because, oh, it's sacrilegious. You know, we're living in an era where nothing really matters anymore anyways. It's all about money. But, you know, nobody plays three-on-three growing up. You know, nobody plays three-on-three hockey growing up. But if you do, you know, you're playing ball hockey and you're playing on a, you know, on a driveway. So it's not conducive. When you see the NHL All-Star Game and they're playing three-on-three, it's unnatural for the players. They don't even know where to go. They'd be better off putting it in like half the rink, literally and figuratively. You want to play three-on-three, go ahead and do it. Play like half rink style. And then, you know, it'll actually be more of a little bit of a game. But the fact of the matter is, the NBA, what's the NBA all about? The NBA, what's the terms? What's the two words we hear about the NBA the most? Big three. Big three. That's all we ever freaking hear about, the big three in the NBA. Well, you know what? Since it's all about the big three, why don't we just get rid of the scrubs at the end of the bench and make it three on three? It's actually going to be entertaining. Now, the question is, though, and there's a lot of questions that I don't have the answers to. It's like life. There's a lot of questions about this. I don't know. Who's going to be playing? Who's picking the teams? Is it sort of like, you know, you look at volleyball. Volleyball is the official national teams. You look at beach volleyball, and, you know, you can pick whoever you want to play with and try to enter. Is that what it's going to be like? Are best friends in the NBA going to say, you know what, screw the Olympic team. Let's just play three on three. It's going to be fun. And we'll go to the Olympics and have a good time. And we'll sell a lot of shoes. You know, so I don't know who's going to play. And what it also does, what makes it interesting, because let's be real. You know, Olympic basketball is a lot like NBA basketball. We know the Golden State Warriors are going to win. You know, at this point, why don't we just take the Golden State Warriors and make them play the national teams like they used to in hockey, and it used to be wicked. Montreal Canadiens versus the Red Army Russians, known as the greatest hockey game ever played. So there's a lot of questions. Who's going to play? Who's picking the teams? Who's it sanctioned by? Is it USA Basketball? And another thing is, this actually opens up the door for other countries to actually win and compete. Canada can't beat the United States in basketball playing 5-on-5. Nobody can beat the United States playing basketball 5-on-5 right now. Nobody has the depth. But a lot of countries have superstars, and a lot of countries have 3, 4, 5 players that could compete. And when you break it down to a 3-on-3 aspect, anything can freaking happen. So as much as I want to say, you know what, this is a stupid idea. In my day, we would never do this. You know what? I'll be watching it, and I'll be betting on it. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. I got so excited about Bonnie Jill Laughlin joining us on the program. I don't think I brought up the fact that Gary and Thorne will join us. Cam Stewart's out. Gary and Thorne is in. As Cam Stewart's deep in U.S. Open previews with Pat Mayo. We'll talk some hot roster fantasy baseball with Gary and Thorne. The very lovely, and let's just call it out for what it is, very hot, Bonnie Jill Laughlin will join us on the program in a couple of moments' time. And Steve Merrill, I don't know if he's a looker, but his picks are pretty hot. Steve Merrill, what's up, Steve?
I was going to say, would you consider me lovely?
At times. You're charming.
Exactly. That's a good answer. Most of my clients feel the same way. It fluctuates.
Exactly. I use charming instead of lovely. How's that?
There you go. Consistent. I'll take consistent.
You are consistent. You know what's funny? Yeah. You are consistent. And that's why I love you, Steve, because you are. And you're probably you're the most consistent guest. There's others I don't want to sell short. Lawrence is pretty hardcore. Like,
yeah, Mark is the only one that's maybe more consistent than me because he's been around about a decade longer. So that's probably a good call.
Mark's hard. Like, he just keeps beating every day. He just keeps going at it.
Yeah.
But you are very consistent. I even told Sean McCormick here, one of the producers here, I told him that the other day. You know, he was like, these guys can't do it. This guy's sick. Everyone's sick in New York.
And yeah, I don't play that.
Yeah, I responded back. I said, I hate people. I told him, that's why I like dogs. And it's true, Steve. I stand on my balcony on my condo, and I watch, you know, everyone has a dog in my condo except me. So everyone walks their dogs. And I always see these people. I always look grumpy. One day they're happy. They're on their phone talking. And I'm like, one day this chick says hello to me, and the next day she doesn't. But every day I notice the dogs are the same. The tail is gone, and I see this same dog every day, and I look at him. Every day he has the same look on his face. Like, he is the same every day. And I looked at him, and I said, I like this guy. He's consistent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's two types of consistency, though. There's the consistency like you and I, where we do a show sick. We do it on Memorial Day. We do it on holidays. And then there's a consistency like that dog that's probably too stupid to know otherwise. So you got to be very careful there.
Hey, he's getting it done, Steve.
Hey, he's happy in his world. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, well, and there's also consistent. Yeah, you're right. They can be consistently bad, too, right?
Consistently wrong. Exactly right. Yeah, that's a good point. Consistency doesn't always mean good.
I hate
that. I didn't say I was good. I just said I was consistent.
I know. Like, I hate that. Like, somebody always used to tell me everything was God's plan all the time. And I told him, I said, yeah, I you know what, I can buy into that it's God's plan. But I said, God doesn't have a good plan for everybody, though.
Yeah, it's not working out too well in the Middle East. I haven't quite figured out the outcome to that one.
I don't know if it's working out well anywhere, but that's besides the point. But I brought up 3-on-3 basketball off the top of the program. This is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is real. It's in the
Olympics. Odds are out on it. Hey, if it's got odds on it, it's a real thing, right?
Yeah, it's 2020 Olympics. Surfing is in the Olympics now.
Well, I didn't know it was in the Olympics. I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. They've put it in the Olympics, 2020. Surfing.
Yeah, but it's not going to be 50-year-old ex-NBA players in the Olympics.
What's that?
It's not going to be ex-NBA players that are in their 40s and 50s in the Olympics like this league is right now, though, right?
No. I don't know what it's going to be. People don't know. Is it going to be NBA guys? Is it going to be college guys? Is it going to be ex-NBA, like, who, you know, who's, no one knows. But surfing is in as well. They dropped a couple of swimming events, a couple of wrestling events, which kind of sucked. They got to add MMA. That's what they got to do, too.
Don't think that's too rough for the Olympics. I just think that's just too, I don't know.
Steve, they have every element of that sport in the Olympics already.
Okay. I was so excited to watch
the
Taekwondo
boxing,
this year.
They have judo. They have Taekwondo. They're
all terrible. That Taekwondo, I was
they
just
have
talking
wrestling.
About wrestling. My buddy last night, he's a black belt, 15 years in Taekwondo. We were talking about this just last night. I lost so much respect for Taekwondo after the Olympics. That is a terrible competition sport. You can't punch. You hop up and down. They just hop at each other, and they throw, like, one little kick. And, I mean, it's awful.
That would be a problem.
The boxing is borderline as well. I mean, that's got
to be. The boxing's better now. They lost the headgear.
That's true. That's a good point. That's true.
But you're right. With MMA, that would be the problem. The Olympics are a little uptight with violence. So you'd have to wear a pad. I don't know how they would do it. But nevertheless, it's called problem solving. You know what I mean? It's called
the 3-on-3 quickly is brilliant because you'd get NBA players for sure during the summer, and that would be a huge draw on the TV ratings. Even I would watch that.
Yeah,
so I think that's a great move. And the surfing's pretty cool, too, actually.
Yeah, people will bet on it. I'll be betting on it. And, you know, I don't like the NHL All-Star Game does this. They went 3-on-3, but the ice is too big. It's not natural. It doesn't work. 3-on-3... Most basketball players, you play on the street, nobody's ever really playing full 10-on-10 pickup games, 5-on-5 games. It's always 4-on-4, 3-on-3, 2-on-2, half court, whatever. You know, 1-on-1, there's a lot of different ways you play, so it's more natural. And it's funny because I'm against it for hockey, but I'm for it for basketball. And it reminded me of the time I was totally against Donald Trump getting the Buffalo Bills. He was one of the final bidders. I was like, man, I don't want this nut job owning the Buffalo Bills. And then he runs for president. I'm like, hey, he's better than Hillary Clinton.
Exactly. I was just going to say, that's easily explainable. You only had two choices when it came to president, and he was the lesser of two evils for most people. The Buffalo Bills, you had several other people that could maybe step in and run the team. So that's a totally different apples and oranges.
Yeah, like Bon Jovi. We should have sold the team to Bon Jovi.
Yeah, he did very well in the AFL.
He did.
By the way,
he won a championship.
Philadelphia Soul. He's a smart businessman. And I'll tell you, Trump's a smart businessman, obviously, but yeah, he's a little bit too much of an egomaniac, kind of like a Daniel Snyder. And trust me, I know all about Daniel Snyder being an ex-Redskin fan a couple decades ago. I think it would have been very similar to what happened to the Redskins.
You think Donald Trump would be Daniel Snyder would be a better president than Trump?
You know what, though? I say that, and I take it back a little bit now, though, because the one thing I say about Trump that I think is always overlooked is the fact he will let people do stuff, and he's done it in the business world, and everyone was worried about him as president as being this egomaniac. And I was the exact opposite. I thought he would put people in position. I think he's brought in a pretty good cabinet and people. He's appointed a lot of powerful people that have done well on their own that don't need to be in the government. You know, they're not government-type workers. So maybe he would have done that. You know, maybe he would have brought in like a Bobby Bethard. You never know. I mean, he might have let other people run the show.
Yeah, he would have hired Bobby Knight.
Wouldn't have been bad necessarily. Knight gets stuff done too.
Exactly, Bobby. I know you don't coach football, Bobby, but I think you're the man for the job. All right. Warriors is down to 5.5. It was sitting at 6, down to 5.5. To me, it's the Warriors tonight. I was on the Cavs the other night on the money line. It was a horrible beat.
Yeah.
I didn't take the points, so that was an even worse beat. But the money line beat sucked. It all sucked. I think tonight Golden State just pull away and win easily.
Yeah, I had the Cavs plus the points for you, so I felt that one. And you know, it's funny. I've had a really good run in the NBA Finals. I won the first two games, had the Warriors in game one, came back with the over in game two. They had 70-some points in the first quarter. That was one of the easiest overs I've seen all season. Baseball's been on a great run. And we won again in baseball on Tuesday and Wednesday, went 3-0. So it didn't sting as much because of that. You know, otherwise, it probably would have really upset me. But, yeah, I mean, the Cavs have a 6-point lead with 2.5 minutes to go at home. They get outscored 11-0 to lose by 5 as a 3.5- to 4-point dog. How can you possibly bounce back from that? I mean, that was the game they had to win. It's the game they won by 30 last year when down 0-2 in the series. And the fact that they should have won the game and they blew it, how do they possibly show up for game four tonight? And the reason the lines dropped a little bit is I think some of the public is actually betting the Cavs here. I looked at the covers consensus at covers.com yesterday, and it was split 50-50 pretty much. So I think the public likes the fact Cleveland was competitive and they're getting even more points here in game four, but I just don't look at it that way.
I don't see it either. I think the Golden State Warriors are going to pull away. I think Cleveland will show up early, and then after a couple of body blows and a couple of little runs for Golden State, it's going to be all over but the crying. Let's dig in a little bit into the numbers a little bit. People are betting the over. They think, hey, we got another track meet. I'm not so sure. I think we could get into garbage time tonight in the fourth quarter, actually. I think we could get to the point where, you know, LeBron, they take him out, he's on the bench, and, you know, Golden State just rolling. So I'm not even messing with the total tonight, but I do want to bring up, so the over's 2-1 in the series. The Warriors are 3-0 against the spread, but this is what's interesting. The first quarter overs are 3-0. The first half overs are 2-1. The second halves through three games, 2-1 to the under, Steve. That's why I'm going to stay away from the total tonight.
Yeah, I mean, how about the Warriors team total? I'm looking now, it's 116.5. You know, if you're going to play the over, that might be the safest option because I do think Golden State closes it out tonight. Cleveland has been unable to stop them all season in all five head-to-head meetings. I agree with you in the fourth quarter, if Cleveland's down, do they toss the towel? Does LeBron hit the bench? You know, that could hurt the total there for the over. So I think Golden State going over the team total is a little safer maybe. Also, the Warriors playing for that 16-0 perfect playoffs. No one's ever done that before. They also blew the 2-1 series last year, so I just don't think they're going to take their foot off the gas pedal. And I actually wouldn't be surprised to see them carry momentum into the first quarter. We see that a lot in these playoffs. Teams that finish strong carry it. So if that's the case, Golden State gets out to a lead like they did on game one, three the other night. Would they have a 5 or 7 point lead after the first quarter? Led at halftime. Cleveland outscored them by, I think, 11 in the third quarter. That's actually the big difference in that game. That's the only reason it was close. You know, if Cleveland's down at the half again, I don't see how they possibly show up in the second half. This would be one where I'd be very careful with that second half line. I wouldn't necessarily expect Cleveland to bounce back like they somewhat did in game three.
We talked about the MVP before the series started. It appears as though Kevin Durant will be the guy tonight, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, averaging 34 points, 10 boards, 6 assists. He's plus 220 to be the high scorer. And listen, Steve, there's been three games. One of the games on a Sunday night, so we weren't here for me to give the pick. But I'm 2 for 2 with the high score, Steve. I said Kevin Durant, high score game one, plus 265. We weren't on the air for game two. The other night, I said LeBron James, high score, plus 165. We cash it. I go back to Kevin Durant tonight. I think Kevin Durant puts the explanation point. I think the other Golden State Warriors are going to defer to him.
I agree.
They like him. They're going to say, thanks for coming here, man. You just helped us win. And we already got ours. Enjoy. And he's going to be hitting shots. I can see him on the court a little longer than the other guys. You know what I mean, Steve? Let him soak it in, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking online right now. They've got Kevin Durant at minus 3,000 to be the MVP. The take back is 13-1 on anybody else. So you get 13-1 on the field. You get 1-30 on Durant. The only way he doesn't win MVP is if this goes to game five. I mean, that's the only way. He could go out in the first quarter tonight. He's going to win MVP still because there's nothing anybody else could do to make up for those first three games where he's been the best player on the planet. So this thing is wrapped up. The only way it doesn't get wrapped up for Durant tonight is if this series goes on, which I don't think it will. Golden State should win as a six-point favorite. And then the only question is the highest score, but I think you bring up a good point about them deferring to him. They know he's going to get MVP, and I think if it comes down to the end, they're going to let him get more points. So I think at plus money, that's not a bad value play.
All right, Steve, let's blast through some NASCAR. Poconos, big-ass track, man. We go a mile, mile and a half we've been kicking around recently.
Yeah.
We go to a 2.5-mile track. I know a dude that went to this race. He was all excited for his first NASCAR race.
Yeah, he told me it's awful, right? Yeah. Awful.
It's 2.5 miles. He's like, you're in the woods, man. You can't see anything. It's terrible. It's nothing like TV. Like he was really mad. I said, dude, it's not the race. I said, of all the tracks you went to, I said, don't go there and don't go to a road course. Like, no. Look. But anyways, so Jimmy Johnson, this guy's unreal. All the talk of LeBron James and Durant, and, you know, the best in the world and all this stuff. Jimmy Johnson's really making a run for being the best of all time, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And he's just consistent. That's the word of the day. Get Pee Wee Herman to ring the bell for consistency.
No confetti.
Because, this is maybe one of the most consistent sports figures that we've ever seen, Gabe. And he's done it with different formats. Now, he has done it with the same team, same crew chief. So that's been consistent, just like
Chad
the Patriots.
Chad Knauss deserves credit, too.
Yeah, it's just like Brady and Belichick.
Yeah, exactly. Belichick and Brady.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not a coincidence that they keep winning. But the guy I got to mention here is Brad Keselowski. Yep. He's been top 2 and 4 the last 3 years of this track. He's been top 2 and 4 of the 6 races, yet he has not won any of them. So, I mean, do what you will with that. But he obviously is very strong here, and I think he's probably the guy to beat. Kevin Harvick's been top 9 and 4 of his last 5, top 4 and 3 of those 5. He'll be strong. But now both Harvick and Keselowski, though, both Fords, haven't run great recently. Keselowski was probably the best driver in the circuit along with his teammate Logano for the first, month or two. They've tailed off a little bit the last few weeks, but I don't read too much into that.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for Micah Roberts, and he's picking Brad Keselowski this week for the do factor. Not to mention, he's finished in the top 3 the last 3 times here. So he does run well here, and he is due for a win. Our boy Truex Jr. in a 6-1 range, won here in 2015. It's in the mix. We know he's probably one of the best cars this year in packages. Last 4 races here, he's led 119 laps, including the win in 2015. Long shot, Kurt Busch. You know, he cashed big time last year with big money.
I like it.
And, he's 40-1, and it's like, well, is he going to win again? Well, I don't know, man. The guy's a 3-time winner here, Steven. It's not a fluke. We talk about consistency in the word of the day. 7 top 10s in the last 9 trips here. He's always in the mix here.
He won the spring race at Pocono last year. He finished 10th in the fall, and he finished 5th and 3rd in 3 of the other 4 races. So he's been top 5 in 3 of the last 6 with the win in this exact race last year. The other guy I want to mention is Dale Earnhardt Jr. This guy has been top 4 in 4 of his last 5 starts here, including 2 wins and a 2nd place. He missed the fall race. He came in 2nd in the spring race last year. Now, he is not running well. And we've talked about the Tony Stewart factor. He kind of looks like he's going out like Stewart did last year with not much flair. But this is a pretty safe track. It's a big track. And he has been as good as anybody recently on this track. So if there's a week in which you might want to take the value with Earnhardt, and we are getting value now because he's struggling, this could be that week. We'll check his practice times. I'd like to see him top 10 in the practices just to confirm.
Quick last guy before we do a quick baseball hit on the way out. The numbers aren't high enough. I think he could be in the mix, but your boy Chase Elliott, 12-1. You know, it's not getting enough value here.
Yeah, the guy's never won still. Even I find that hard to believe, you know, because, Larson finally won. He has all those top twos. Chase Elliott is so inconsistent, though, as a youngster. This is a perfect example of inconsistency. He was fourth in the spring, and then he finished 33rd in the fall. Those are his only two starts here. So we'd have to see really fast practice times for me to back him on a win ticket. Fantasy is a different story. He can be a very good driver, but he just has yet to win and get first place.
All right, Steve, we got about 30 seconds or so. Hot and cold. How about this? The Cardinals, man, do they suck. They've lost 8 in a row, 12 of 15. I don't know. I think they're like 5 in 18 or last 23 or something like that. And the line keeps going up, man. They're up to minus 185 tonight. It's Waka Waka against Hellickson.
Yeah, you know, I talk about it year after year. You got to play momentum, good and bad, in baseball. I kept mentioning on Twitter that, you know, the public was on them. The sharp money was on the Reds. The Reds swept them in 4. And I don't back teams like the Cardinals until they turn it around. And they have not turned it around right now, that's for sure.
And your Washington Nationals, 13-4 in their last 17 games, playing good baseball, but minus 170 tonight.
Play them the first 5 inning line, then you don't have to worry about that bullpen.
Steve Merrill, get his wealth of information, prosportsinfo.com, as well as coversexperts.com. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve is very consistent, so we'll speak to him on Monday. God willing, as long as I'm going to run over by a bus or something like that. Gary and Thorne joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. The kid is hot tonight. Whoa! Good job, Gary. You're a younger guy, but you know your lover boy.
I got lover boy down. We're all good. I am Canadian. Yeah. It's all good.
The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart's deep into a U.S. Open previews now. But we were talking about consistency earlier, Gary, and I was saying that's why I like dogs better than people. They're very consistent dogs. You know, they're always the same.
Can't argue that.
Tails are wagging, and they're happy. You know, people suck. But we brought up Steve Merrill's consistency. Very consistent. Steve Merrill, but your love and your analysis of baseball, Garrett, very consistent as well.
Thank you.
Big NBA game tonight, championship. I'm sure you're ready to crunch any baseball number we throw at you, right?
Basically, yeah. I mean, I feel like stats are more interesting than that NBA series right now. Game 3 was good. But are you telling me you honestly don't believe Golden State just comes out and crushes them by 25 tonight?
They're going to crush them tonight.
I'm saying.
And the point spread's coming down. People are like, oh, Cleveland have too much pride. You think they want to fly to Oakland and lose in California with the confetti coming down? And it's the last thing they want.
Their small victory will be that they, deprive Golden State of winning on their home court, that they have to win in Cleveland, and, you know, it'll suck.
And you think the last two finals actually were decided on each other's home courts.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but LeBron James has been swept in the finals before. All right, before we get into to the baseball, tonight's DFS hot roster card, they officially announced it, man. I thought it was just being talked about, and maybe we'll put 3-3 in and we'll test it. No, they ain't testing nothing. They're like, yeah, 2020 Tokyo, we have 3-on-3 basketball. Are you for or against this?
I mean, it's tough for me because we come in talking about my love of baseball. I mean, how can basketball get two different Olympic events
and baseball?
Is baseball back?
Baseball's back.
Thank God.
For Tokyo.
Well, that makes sense.
Because, it almost seems like they're doing it. Hey, you spend billions for the Olympics, you can name a couple of sports. Because Japan, they're like, no, we're having baseball.
Yeah, and Japan, I mean, they love their basketball too. So I guess this kind of makes some sense. But
told you it was 7-on-7 baseball? No, I'm kidding.
I'd watch.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we already got that weird.
No center. Imagine it's like, no center fielder allowed because we want runs. All right, sure.
They already do that thing in international baseball where they start the runners in extra inning with first and second.
So the 3-on-3 basketball though, it's kind of cool, and it opens up the window actually for cool competition.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, I guess this is sort of almost following the trend of hockey, which makes sense because, you know, hockey and basketball take place simultaneously. We know the problems the NHL has now had with the IOC trying to figure out sort of a cohesive deal. I mean, they've changed the way you qualify for basketball even over the last couple of years. So there was a lot of talk around Canada specifically because Canada's built up their basketball program so well the last couple of years that all these guys we now have in the NBA won't be able to play in the qualifying tournaments because they'll be running at the same time as the NBA season. So maybe this is a way the IOC has figured out to still get the NBA and the star power into the Olympics. So it could be a nice sort of like win for everyone scenario.
The big question mark is, though, is it USA basketball, USA team, Canada basketball calling the shots? Like, who's calling the rosters? Is it NBA guys? Is it like, can like a retired NBA guy say, you know what? I can still play in a 3-on-3. Like, I saw Baron Davis playing the other day 3-on-3. Looked pretty damn good, actually.
Well, Baron still plays in the Drew League every
Sunday, too. Yeah, so exactly. Like, who knows? Maybe some ex-NBA guy's going to say, I want in. It's going to be interesting. I don't have the answers to this yet. Let's jump in, because I know Garrett's got some answers to some baseball here. Let's start off. Andrew Triggs, some white wine against Dylan Bundy. You're going to need a lot of Jackson Triggs after this game.
Actually,
you know what? I'm betting on the Yankees tonight because I'm betting against Dylan Bundy.
I mean, it doesn't strike anyone out, which is kind of weird. Like, Bundy came into the year and he was using his slider a whole lot more, and the slider's a great pitch for Bundy, and he's pitched well so far this season. But here's the thing about the slate tonight in general. There's some real scumbag pitchers going out there tonight, Gabe. Like, there's some just gas cans.
Well, we're
taking
already
them out
usually,
tonight.
Yeah, we're in early June, and we're already at guys, you see. Second Major League Baseball start.
Oh, yeah.
Even the other day, and I know everyone because I bet, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking, I'm like, Jake Junis? Who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
I'm like,
no idea.
I'm like, Jake Junis? And I'm like, I even thought of you. I'm like, Garion probably doesn't even know who the hell this guy is. Like,
I mean, we got double headers. We got guys on the 10-day DL. It's pretty crazy. But I will say, so just because you haven't heard of Andrew Triggs doesn't mean he's bad. I think Andrew Triggs is actually pretty good.
But he started out, he had one run or less in his first 8 starts. It was unbelievable. He's given up 18 runs in his last 3.
Yeah, it's kind of coming off the tracks a little bit. But here's the thing I like about Triggs specifically tonight, even as the favorite against Bundy. Because, like you mentioned, Gabe, that Yankee offense right now is not necessarily something you want to pick on. Tampa Bay, highest strikeout rate in all of baseball. So Triggs definitely has a path here to some easy fantasy points. And he's also kind of like the Irving Santana mold so far this season. He's got a 25.5% opponent hard contact rate. No one's squaring up the baseball against Andrew Triggs so far this season. The only guys with lower opponent hard contact rates are Irving Santana, John Lester, and Dallas Keuchel. So he's doing a really good job at suppressing opponent contact, which I think he's going to do tonight against Tampa. And Tampa lost Kevin Kiermaier, too, so that lineup's a little bit weaker.
Yeah, exactly. Tampa is really banged up. Brad Miller placed on the DL as well. And I'd rather have Triggs in Tampa than pitching in the Bronx against the Yankee team
that
can hit the baseball. And as far as Bundy is concerned, he's lost 3 of his last 4 starts. He's coming off his shortest effort of the year. Let's talk about, so I'm in agreement with you. Triggs is the play there. Zach Davies versus Eric Skoglund. Davies in a tough spot here because the D-backs don't lose.
And they don't lose at home.
That's what I'm saying. At home, they have the best, you know, they're 24-8 at home, Garrett. You want to get in front of that? Like,
no.
That's pretty tough right there.
They got the best team WOBA in baseball at home. 373
And talking about guys we
home.
Don't know who the hell are. Who the hell is Eric Skoglund?
Well, here's the thing. So Skoglund came up, had a great start against the Tigers, his first start. But it was all deception. It was all, we don't have any film on this guy.
Guys always do well on their first start and suck in the second start.
Next start, he got absolutely demolished. But I'm not saying Skoglund's good by any means, because he's not. He's a terrible, terrible pitcher. He doesn't deserve to be in the majors. But San Diego has the worst offense against left-handed pitching so far this season. They have the worst batting average at .203, the worst WRC+, the worst WOBA as a team. They cannot hit lefties. This game is at Petco, too. It's a battle of 2 terrible pitchers, but I'm going to take Skoglund in a better matchup.
I agree. I agree with you in this one. All right, let's get to Peacock. We got Peacock versus Harvey. Ooh, speaking of brutal.
Yeah.
Okay, so Peacock, of course, if you're wondering, Peacock, isn't he a reliever? Well, he was forced into starter's duty, and he's actually been pretty good, Garen, as a starter. One thing I noticed, too, with my betting background here, is my memory, my Batman senses were like, don't the Angels always lose in Houston? And I'm like, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They're 9-21 in their last 30 games there. All right, so they don't win when they go there. They don't have their best player.
Yeah.
And Peacock's been pretty good, man. He's been solid as a starter. And in fact, even getting strikeouts with Peacock, 9 strikeouts in 6 innings against the Rangers.
Tons of strikeouts. And that was the first time he's even pitched more than 5 innings in a start so far this season. And he still struck out 8 guys per start in the games he didn't even play 5 full innings. He's got 25 strikeouts in 15 innings so far this season as a starter. And I think you got to go Peacock here because Matt Harvey, even against Atlanta, I mean, Matt Harvey's just been so bad this year. His 6.01 FIP. There's only 2 pitchers in baseball who have pitched worse by fielding independent measure this season than Matt Harvey, and it's Bronson Arroyo and Jordan Zimmerman. You want no part of any guy associated with Bronson Arroyo.
How's Bartolo Colon in this, man?
Not enough innings to qualify. he was so bad he didn't even quite get to the threshold. But yeah,
not to mention this. What's the name of the park? Sunlight.
It's Sunlight Field. It's playing like a pitcher's park or a hitter's park.
It's a hitter's park. So. Well, I tell you, it's playing like a pitcher's park for Julio.
SunTrust Field.
For Julio Teran, it's certainly a pitch. It's almost to the point where you got to trade this guy. If you're like, if he can't pitch in this stadium, he's getting killed there, Garrett. His ERA is 8. So we're in agreement here. Peacock.
Yeah, gonna go Peacock.
All right, we got one more here
with the aforementioned Julio Teran.
Yeah, Julio Teran against Jeremy Hellickson. So Hellickson's taking on a garbage St. Louis Cardinals baseball team. I know people that are big Cardinal fans, type of high roller gamblers in Vegas that fly to World Series games to watch them. They want Matheny fired.
Yeah.
Like now. They think it's time. Matheny's got to go.
You see some of the games they lost to the Reds over the last 4 days, the pitching that the Reds were throwing out there. I mean, if you want any sort of like boon to your Hellickson confidence, which should be very low, it would be just the Cardinals' performance as of late.
Shouldn't there be a correction tonight? They're back at home. They can't. They've lost 8 in a row, Garrett.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I do think that I'm going to take Teron here, and it's a scary situation because if there's anything that Teron does better than just give up home runs in general, it's give up home runs specifically to left-handed batters. Like, Lucas Duda could hit 2 tonight. Michael Conforto could hit 2 tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's just so many good left-handed bats on the Mets. It is a little scary, but Teron's kind of like an extremes pitcher. His last 5 starts, he's got 3 quality starts, and then he gave up 9 earned runs to Toronto, 7 earned runs in his last start. So he's either really good or really bad. Hellickson's just bad. So, and he also doesn't strike anyone out. So I'm gonna err on the side of like maybe good Teron shows up tonight.
I like that you're doing this. You make me feel a little bit better because as much as I hate the Cardinals and I said I'm never gonna bet on them, I'm laying a run and a half with them at plus money, and they're gonna light Hellickson up. We'll come back with our plays of the day next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Our plays of the day are coming up shortly. All right, we're now joined by a woman, and she's done it all. Broadcasting, modeling, Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. I saw her tweeting a picture of her on the TV show Baywatch. I don't know what she hasn't done, including being the first ever female scout in the National Basketball Association. She really is Wonder Woman. Bonnie Jill Laughlin joins us. Bonnie, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Gabe.
So there's a ton of stuff I want to get to here, Bonnie. First things first, and I wasn't really planning on this. We're going to talk about the finals and the draft and Lonzo and everything. But they announced that 3-on-3 is going to be 3-on-3 basketball is going to be in the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo. They did not say who's picking the teams, how do you get in, who's going to be playing. But the possibilities are pretty fun to think of, actually. A lot of guys in the NBA, that are friends, it could be an opportunity for them to play together. And I'm thinking even retired guys, like a guy that I know you know well, in Kobe Bryant. Kobe's still got the competitive juices. He doesn't want to go through the process of a full season. He doesn't want to play on in a U.S. Olympic dream team and take up a spot of a kid now. But I could totally see Kobe look in and go, wow, I could do that. Like, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. I know when I saw that this morning, I was like, wow, there are so many different possibilities. I mean, the team that I would love to see in a 3-on-3 is LeBron, KD, and Steph. That's the dream team that, how do you beat them? I'm talking about
guys. That would be pretty awesome. And already I'm thinking right now, it's like pickup basketball now, Bonnie. I'm almost like, I'll take Russell Westbrook in this. Can you imagine Westbrook in a 3-on-3? And he's good friends with Kevin Love, right? So you got Westbrook, you got Love, and who do you bring in there? The third guy.
The UCLA connection. It's true. There's so many different possibilities. Kobe, so competitive. He would love to be playing this. Allen Iverson. I mean, I could even see MJ, and I'm being kind of facetious a little bit, being like, wait a second, let me get back in there. So there's so many different possibilities, but I don't know the rules or what's going to be going on. If it's going to be guys that are just street ballers, is it guys that are playing? I mean, I have no idea. But
that's the thing, and no disrespect to the N1 guys and the 3-on-3 leagues and all the street stuff, because I love that stuff. I play street ball. I like that. But at the same point in time, if you're doing this, you got to do it for real. I mean, you know, you got to do it for real. And, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be by country. So, you know, you get Andrew Wiggins, Tristan Thompson, and Murray. Or, you know, Nick Stauskas would be good in a three-on-three setting. But nevertheless.
About Tristan Thompson, he's kind of has the Kardashian curse right
now.
Well,
you know, I left him off, actually. I tweeted that this morning. I did a three for Team Canada. I said Wiggins, Corey Joseph, and Murray. And I think Corey Joseph would actually be good in this setting. And people are like, what about Tristan? I said, until he's not with Chloe, I'm not, you know what I mean? Yeah, the curse is real. And all kidding aside, he has been terrible. His wardrobe has been terrible and his game has been terrible.
It's been horrible. I mean, when Steph Curry has 13 boards, he's got three, there's a problem there.
I mean,
there's been all these rumors that Chloe said that she was pregnant and all that stuff, and that'd probably make me want to throw up too. So maybe he just has, you know, there's something going on, you know, for him to just completely just be non-existent for these finals.
Has he never heard of Lamar Odom before? I guess everyone on the Cavs too, and it's sensitive too. And I'm sure guys on the Cavs have kind of told him, I don't know about this, dude. Like, you know, there's a lot of other people out there, but nevertheless, Warriors, I think they get it done tonight. I think Cleveland's heart was just ripped out. I don't think subconsciously, Bonnie, they even really want to go back to Oakland and lose on Monday night and watch the Warriors celebrate on their home court. The last 2 years, this series has been decided on each other's home courts. So it doesn't surprise me if it happens tonight. I like the Warriors tonight.
Oh, definitely. And as much as Kerr and, you know, everyone's saying they're not talking about the record, I mean, being 16-0 and being the best team ever, no one has ever done that. I know that's in the back of their mind. And the way that LeBron and company end up winning on the Warriors court in game 7, and, you know, I think that still kind of resonates with them. And so them winning in Cleveland tonight is huge. And I think they'll get it done. If you watch LeBron and when they were leaving, after game 3, they were deflated, they were gassed, they were done. The fans were out of it, and they just got to come out early, the Warriors, and just kind of close it out. And I think once they take a big lead, if they do take a big lead, I think it could be a blowout in the fourth quarter and be done.
There's been so much talk over the last couple of weeks about LeBron James and comparisons to Michael Jordan. I've always said that the closest player to Michael Jordan was Kobe Bryant, really.
Right.
You know, stylistically, I mean, everything. If you clone Jordan, the closest thing you're going to get is Kobe Bryant. I've always thought LeBron was more Magic Johnson-ish. Pat Riley said he thinks Magic Johnson's actually the best player ever. And, I can live with that debate. But we haven't talked about the greatest team ever all that much. Golden State sets the regular season record last year. This year, they could become the only team ever to run the table. That 96 Bulls team, as you know, Bonnie, they lost 2 games to the Seattle Supersonics, and that was a hell of a series. They were up 3-0. Sonics won the next two. Game 6 was actually pretty close. Are the Golden State Warriors the greatest team ever, or can we at least legitimately argue that?
Oh, definitely argue that. And if you look at this, I mean, this team with the 96 Bulls, you had basically, I mean, he had a great bench and great starting five, but it was basically Scottie and MJ as, you know, considered like all-stars and, you know, Hall of Famers. You look at this team now with KD and Steph and Clay and Draymond, these are, you know, all these guys. I mean, it's unbelievable to see this. It's almost a dream team watching them. So it is going to be the team that everyone, I think, will talk about. And going back to what you said about LeBron and MJ, I've always thought the same thing because LeBron and MJ are totally two different type of players. So it is more of a Kobe, MJ, and Magic. I always will put him up here as one of the top players. What guy do you know who could play every position?
Exactly. And LeBron could do that. LeBron could play center, too. That's why I think, you know, the comparisons like Magic did, you know, as the rookie. But, yeah, it's interesting when you look at the people talk about the Chicago Bulls, and there's been a lot of debate. Vegas said that the Warriors would be 6.5-point favorites against that Bulls team. And a lot of the older guys, that's, you know, sacrilege, and you can't say that. And I am older, you know, so I watched that stuff. I was there betting on it, and like it was yesterday type of deal. And you're right, Bonnie. I went over the rosters the other day. You look at those Bulls teams. It was essentially Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Tony Kukoc was there at the end, sort of. And then it was a bunch of goons. It really was. It was funny. It was just a bunch of tough guys. You know, Edwards, you know, the guy with the goatee. You know, Haley, because he was along for the ride. Rodman. There were just a lot of sort of guys, tougher guys, because Jordan got beat up so much early. Okay, in our remaining minutes, I want to ask you, you were a scout for the LA Lakers. I said earlier in the week that it seems to me the Lakers are like poker players, you know, playing with their cards faced up, and everyone can see they're being too obvious about this Lonzo Ball stuff. That, you know, they want him. Danny Ainge is a crafty dude. You never know what he's going to do. He could trade. He could do a lot of different stuff. Now we're hearing word they didn't love the workout. Now, I don't think they're going to give up on him because of one workout, Bonnie. But what do you think of Lonzo Ball? I know he fits with the Lakers, per se, but is he the best player at that spot?
Yeah, it's tough, you know, because I've been, you know, hearing a lot of the inside and what is going on with the Lakers' decision, and they actually really love Lonzo Ball. You know, I've talked to Magic, and he says, regardless of what's going on with the circus with his father, that his father won't be at the games. His father, I mean, he'll be at the games, but not on the court. He won't be at practices. He won't have to deal with them as much. So they're kind of trying to separate the two. He didn't have the workout they were looking for, but they are, you know, they're going to bring him back again, and I do believe that they will still give him, you know, that pick. I personally love Josh Jackson. He's my favorite kid in the draft. Talking about versatile, athletic, I mean, he can make an impact immediately. I've been following this kid for a long time, watching him at Kansas. So I personally don't think that the Lakers should take Ball, but I know that that's what they're, what I'm being told they're going to do.
Unfortunately, we're already getting the hook. We're out of time. I always love talking basketball with you. And you know what? I love Jackson as well. Very reminiscent of Kawhi Leonard.
Yes.
And, you know, he really is. And I swear, I watched Kawhi at San Diego State. I'm a big Steve Fisher guy. And I told people, Kawhi Leonard can score 23 points a night in the NBA. They're like, he can't shoot. What are you talking about? Yeah, how's he doing now? That's what they say about Jackson. He can't shoot. Yeah, we'll see in a couple of years how Jackson's doing in the NBA. Always a pleasure, buddy. We wish you the best of luck. Always love talking hoops with you. There's Bonnie Jill Laughlin when it's come back with our plays of the day, I promise, next, unless Reed screws us. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. Let's start off with what's going to be the final NBA game of the season. I thought the Cleveland Cavaliers would be able to win on their home court. They came damn close. They blew it. If they would have, the dynamic of the series would be completely different. The series is over tonight. Lay the wood with Golden State. They're going to win by double digits. Kevin Durant's going to be the high scorer. I've given you this prop twice. We're 2-0. Durant's going to make it 3-0. Durant, high score tonight, plus 220. New York Yankees going to get it done against Dylan Bundy. Dylan Bundy's been pitching like Bud Bundy as of late. St. Louis Cardinals, you guys suck rocks, and I hate you, but I'm betting on you to win by two runs tonight. And give me the Dodgers, minus 1.5 other night. You're on your own. May the winners be yours.